Okay, welcome back to Heritage Radio Network, live here at the Good Food Mercantile in San Francisco. And we have a very, very special guest about to join us on the radio. And God, I just, I really want to talk about like what we did the other night, but I guess we'll save that for later.
I think we should talk about it in this interview because it was
absolutely
so special, the event that we went to the other day. So hang in there. We will make you all so jealous.
Yeah, that was my teaser.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to now introduce our guest. This is Angelo Garo of Omnivore and of the Renaissance Forge. You probably have heard of him in The Omnivore's Dilemma, and he has worked closely with the slow food movement. He is really an icon in the slow food movement. He is a food crafter, entrepreneur, hunter, blacksmith, really a Renaissance man. And he welcomed us to his forge on Thursday night for an incredible event with all of the most amazing food personalities from San Francisco. And I'm just learning so much about you, Angelo, and it's really a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you. And can you tell us a little bit about what brings you here today to this building?
Well, we have a booth here at the Good Food Award, Good Food Building. And I have here with me Beth Malik and Veronica Ronghi. They are my two part of the family, Omnivore family, and my two managers. And so we are here and try to capture stores across the nation, see if they can sell our product and make the all Omnivore product known across the United States.
And I am happy to vouch for all of Angelo's products. One of my favorite seasonings and something that is now a staple both in my home and my parents' home is Omnivore Salt.
Thank you.
Which is really a wonderful product. It's available through Heritage Foods. But you also are debuting a line of sauces that I have had the pleasure of sampling in our Brooklyn warehouse and also here today at the show. What are the sauces that you brought to the Mercantile today?
Well, they are Omnivore Vulcano Ginger and Vulcano Classic. Mm-hmm. And I came with this two recipe with, I went to a restaurant that had organic meat and they had on the table non-organic sauce, you know, so... So I said, I taste the sauce that they had on the table. I said, I could do it much better than this. So I went on a drawing board and I started to marrying the spices. And for me, the most important things to how to balance sweetness and acidity and flavor, of course. And I came up with Omnivore Classic first. Mm-hmm. And then right after, I created Omnivore Ginger. And it's good for everything. It's good on chicken, meats, also fish, shrimp. It's an all-around very good product. And then we have also Sicilia sauce, which is seven spices, but very complex because there's fennel, there is a balsamic vinegar, olive oil, you know, garlic, and it's very good for a series of things. You can cook with it. You can... You know, add a little wine, white wine, and pour over shrimp or San Francisco crab, Dungeness crab, then now we're in season. Mm. So it's very delicious.
This day is making me so hungry. Thank you.
And we're so far away from the food up here.
Anyone who's listening who's downstairs, please feel free to bring up your samples.
Yeah, bring a tray.
So, Angelo, you are a man of many talents and a really broad and varied education. Can you tell me about how you got your start and your love for food and what led you to become involved with the slow food movement?
Yes. Well, it was some 20 years ago that I met Alice Water. And we instantly became friends. Actually, I met her by every year on my birthday, I used to go catching eels under the Golden Gate Bridge. And my wife told me, what do you want to do for your birthday? I said, well, I'm going fishing. If you guys want to show up there, it's fine. Meanwhile, I made a friend, my friend Bob Carroll, and he was a very good friend of Alice, but I didn't know all this. So he I said, can I bring a friend? She has a restaurant. I said, yeah, sure, no problem, you know. So we went to the under the Golden Gate Bridge, caught eels. I skinned it. Wow. I salted with omnivore salt because I was already mixing my salt way back then. And cooking a little abachi. And Alice said, from the sea to the plate. That's the way I like my food. And we became instant friends, you know. So afterwards, I met Carlo Petrini. Mm-hmm. And, of course, everything. Now, every time he comes to San Francisco, make sure they spend 5 hours at the Forge. He usually said, I have only 1 hour, you know. But then he started to drink a little wine, started to have a little prosciutto. And, you know, the 1 hour becomes 5 hours.
Of course. Yes. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Forge, what it is, how you ended up there?
Yeah, well, I was trained. I went to Switzerland. I went to nighttime art school, and then it was obvious that I loved very much art. I said, but how can I make a living doing sculpture? You know, it's not easy, and so. I decided to apprentice as a blacksmith after I went to art school. And so with the goal that I would make me independent and I would be my own person, my own boss. And I worked at it successfully and I became that. So I came to San Francisco because I met my wife, my former wife, and she was in Toronto, Canada. Because that's where I came from, Switzerland, Canada, and then U.S. So we got married up there, and then her family lived in San Francisco, and she said that she wanted to move back to San Francisco, and I said, let's go and visit. So we visited, of course, we went to North Beach and saw all the Italian name, you know, all the Italian restaurant, and we traveled to Napa and Sonoma, Montavi, and Segesio, all those winery there, all Italian name. I said, wow, this is like Italy, so let's move right away. So we moved here in 1984.
And that's when you started working at the Forge?
Yes,
you found that space?
Yes, in Canada I also had the Ravenna Forge.
Oh, okay.
Different name.
Right.
And then when I came to San Francisco, I named Renaissance Forge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so for years, I'd done a lot of ironwork, villas for Silicon Valley mostly, you know, one of a kind. And so until 3 years ago. 3 years ago, with enticement of friend of all friends, including Beth, down with me, Beth Malik, says, hey, let's do a Kickstarter. You have such a good product here. You've been doing for so long. You'll be nice if we could put it on the market so that many people can share it across the nation, you know. So for now we manage mostly in the Bay Area and a few stores in New York and a few stores in LA and some stores in the Midwest and Oregon as well. So we continue to grow and hopefully everybody get a chance to taste my product.
I didn't really know what to expect when I walked into your workspace the other day.
Yes.
I knew that Forge was in the name, in fact, but I was actually in the car with Nell Newman. We came over, and we were looking for maybe a restaurant.
I thought we were going to a restaurant.
In the back.
Yeah.
We weren't sure, and we pulled into an alleyway, a dead end, and the cab stopped.
Yes.
So we got out, and then there was like this bright light spilling into the street, and we walked in, and all of a sudden there was a space full of few people I knew from Heritage Foods, and then all these other people, and trays of charcuterie, and the smell of wood smoke pouring out from the back where
huge
you
barbecue.
Were grilling pork shoulders from Heritage Foods, and there was the most beautiful meat slicer right next to your blacksmith's forge, and hanging from the ceiling are all kinds of pieces of iron, your tools and your materials.
And persimmons.
And then there's, there's a kitchen space, and you have a pasta machine, and you have drying persimmons hanging down from the ceiling, and then in the back you have a meat curing room and a wine cave, and there is so much going on there.
It's great for radio, but it would be better for TV.
Yeah, I mean, it is the most beautiful space. And the thing that really caught my eye is that above the table in the kitchen, you have an incredible chandelier. I've been dying to ask you if that chandelier has a story.
Well, there's many stories, but before we go to that, I want to tell you another story parallel to what you said, that when we did the Kickstarter 3 years ago, I got enormous amount of call, and people wanted to make a reservation. You know, there was nowhere written that I had a restaurant, but somehow people assumed that I had a restaurant. And I said, and so there's, hi, you know, we are from Louisiana, and my husband and I were in the city here, you know, and we would like to make a reservation. And I said, no, but this is another restaurant. He said, I cook, but for my friend, you know. And then I said, if you want to come by and make you a cappuccino or something, but I can't cook for you, you know. It doesn't like that, you know. And so the same way, you know, that happens about 15 or 16 years ago, Devia Nelson, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine from the Kitchen Sisters, she was working on a movie here, Rainmaker, with Francis Coppola, and she said, Angelo, we have here a few actors that, you know, I think you should make some dinner with your mushroom. Because I told her that in the phone, via phone conversation, that I went foraging and I found, you know, 20 pounds of chanterelle.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and she said, wow, that would be so nice if you could make a little pasta, you know. And I said, okay. So all those actors came in, and Robert Duvall, John Voight, Danny DeVito.
Oh, my God.
Danny Glover. But then, you know, the dinner went very well and everything. Actually, Danny DeVito said, can we make some special pasta? I love, like, glazed onions pasta. We make it together, he said. I said, okay. I said, okay. So we make that pasta successfully. And he said to the girl, please go and get the cigar. Get a cigar from Angela. So he opened this box, beautiful. And I went for that cigar. And he looked at me like that. You know, he said, okay, you can have that one. So it was a very special cigar. You know? So I don't know. Yeah, a lot of people assume that it's a restaurant, and it's a restaurant. Yes, for friends.
Yeah,
friends and family restaurant. Right. I call it. That's a good title. Friends and, you know. So, but going back to the chandelier. The chandelier, it's actually a Murano glass. It came broken in a box from a client. And he was going to throw it away. He was going to throw it away. And I said, can I take it with me? Because maybe I can fix it. Yeah, yeah, take the things. I'm going to get another one. It's coming, you know, it's out of insurance or whatever. And so I had a nephew, Gaetano, architect in Rome. Mm. He just had graduated from architecture, and he came patiently. And he was a championship. He won a championship in puzzle making. You know, so he was good. He took all.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was very good.
At there are contests for puzzle making.
Yeah, he put together all the glass with the crazy glue, and I would go with epoxy. Epoxy to make it stronger. Mm-hmm. And we had shelf all over the shop with parts. So then we put it together. And then a friend of mine wired, we put it up, we light it up. It was about 6 o'clock already, like dark. And then I looked around and said, It's like Philip Stark. It's like the artist Philip Stark. He always hangs those antique chandeliers in modern setting in New York. You see sometime, you know. So it was a beautiful contrast. I said, I couldn't have found a better place. You know, in my apartment, there's not the high ceiling enough to have something like that, you know. So every time people walk through the door and that's light up, it just makes the place very, very interesting.
Yeah, sinister. It's captivating.
Yeah.
Yes, sinister too, you know.
It is enormous.
Where are we?
Yeah.
Are we in a forge, you know?
Yeah.
Are we in the moon or something, you know?
I felt like I was on such a mission of discovery as I kind of walked through the succession of rooms. And
So what is the forge? The forge, it's a gathering place, you know, where friends and different ethnicity and different walk of life, as I mentioned, from actors to plumbers to lawyers to artists, you know, and it's a place to feel good.
Mm.
And several times people told me coming through the door, you know, it really feels good to be here. You know?
Yeah. I can vouch for that, for sure.
Yeah, that makes me happy. You know, omnivore and all, those are all distractions, you know.
Yeah.
Not destruction, distraction. You know, but of course we love to do, because whenever you create something, there is, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a chef or if you're a blacksmith or an artist or a painter, when you create something, in your case, when you create this show, it makes you feel good, you know, you're doing something worthwhile.
And you have to have a space to share
it. That's right. Yeah, and you share it with the other, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who would you say have been your biggest mentors along your food path?
Well, my grandmother, for sure. My grandmother, Bastiana, but it's Sebastiana usually, you know. And, you know, when we were little, all my cousins, she put everybody together and pick olives, because she had a farm with, I don't know, 1,000 olive trees and citrus and cherries, and we constantly throughout the year made things, jams and olive pickling and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was 18 and I said, Grandma, what am I going to do with your food in Switzerland? You know, there must be very different food. And she said, oh, don't worry, if you have wild fennel, chili pepper and black pepper and salt, you can make anything taste good. And that stuck in my head.
That's good advice.
So when I came to California, I was doing roasting a lot of pigs with Alice for Edible Schoolyard for fundraiser. And I mixed the salt, but it was so balanced perfectly that I didn't need to put a little bit of pepper. Make all one, put olive oil and salt, and people said, oh my gosh, that tastes great, that tastes delicious. And I've been giving away to friends for about 30 years, you know. And then 3 years ago, decided with the Kickstarter platform to put it on the market.
Well,
that's incredible.
I'm glad you did. And I can tell you that it's definitely coast to coast, because we go through a lot of it in New York and Maine.
Yeah.
But it's about passion.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I have two girls like Beth Malik and Veronica Ronke, they're really passionate about the product too, and they believe in it. So, and if you believe in it, something good comes out of it.
Definitely.
So we are feeling this weekend like we're in very uncertain times, and we are not sure what the next 4 years will hold as far as regulation in the food industry.
Yes.
And so on the one hand, we're feeling pretty apprehensive, but also it's been such a weekend of celebration and recognition of people who are doing great work in the food space and giving us hope. What is your take on, how are you feeling, and what is giving you hope right now? And do you have any advice?
Well, you know what? You know, a lot of people feel sad and distraught about this time, you know, and they feel a lot of anxiety. But, you know, in the scheme of all things, it's just a little mosquito bite, Trump. It's nothing than a mosquito bite, because this nation is a great nation. It's been here forever. We've been up and down. You know, we've been through the Second World War, where they were exterminating Jews and everybody else that had different ideology in Europe, you know. And this one is really a little bit an inconvenience. And it tells us that we must change one man to one vote, because, frankly, in California we feel cheated, because 60% of the people voted for Hillary, and our vote did not count. Mm-hmm. And that's sad. But having said that, you know, we continue to make great food and great things, rally people today. In fact, there's a demonstration right now. Maybe I will see the tail end of it, but I will be there, you know, and basically hope for the best, and hopefully does some terrible things at the beginning so we can get the House and the Senate in midterm elections.
Yes, we can. Yeah. Thank you.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much, Angelo, for coming on the radio with us today.
Sure.
It's such an honor and a joy to have you, and I hope we'll have you back soon.
My pleasure.
And thank you again for the amazing party.
Yes, thank you for welcoming us to the Forge.
I will never
both great.
Make an assumption too. About a restaurant like that again.
Next time I walk down a dead end alley, I will have higher expectations.
Yeah, such a delight. Thank you.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, great.
Okay, and I want to read from that your information so that our listeners know how they can find you. Of course, they can go through Heritage Foods, but also, do you have a website?
Visit our website, www.omnivore.us, and you'll find our great product. Also, you can see all the cooking video, including the video of the Kickstarter, which was the voice over from Werner Herzog, and he added the movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Not just any Kickstarter video.
You are just full of surprises.
Yeah. Okay, folks, Angelo Garo.
I did not know that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and process that incredible story, all of those stories, and we will be back with you soon from the Good Food Awards. Thanks.